the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Iraqi guerrillas will step up attacks in the next few months in an attempt to thwart a transfer of sovereignty from the occupation authority to a new Iraqi government, the top U.S. administrator in Iraq said Friday. But L. Paul Bremer said in an interview with Associated Press TV News that U.S. forces were getting better intelligence in the fight against insurgents who stage attacks daily. Hours before he spoke, a roadside bomb hit a U.S. military convoy in Baghdad, killing one soldier. Two Iraqi civilians also died, and 13 were wounded. With guerrilla attacks overshadowing reconstruction efforts in Iraq, the Pentagon is considering formation of a specialized force to help shepherd war-torn countries from the end of major combat to the start of civilian nation-building, government officials say. In an about-face for the Bush administration, defense officials are quietly examining proposals including a small joint services unit of a few thousand troops that could be assembled in as little as a year to perform policing, civil affairs, engineering, medical, and other duties in hotspots such as Iran and Afghanistan. The Bush administration campaigned on a policy of no nation building. Investigators who raided the offices of Rush Limbaugh's doctors said in search warrants filed Thursday that the conservative radio commentator engaged in illegal drug use and doctor shopping for prescription painkillers. The warrants, which named four doctors and several prescription drugs, show investigators were looking for medical, insurance, and appointment records for Limbaugh, as well as cash receipts and prescription forms when they raided two offices November 25th. No charges have been filed and no arrests have been made. Mr. Limbaugh's actions violate the letter and spirit of the law that relates to doctor shopping, stated one of the warrants, signed by Asim Brown, a law enforcement agent assigned to the State Attorney's Office Anti-Money Laundering Task Force. Doctor shopping refers to looking for a doctor willing to prescribe drugs illegally or getting prescriptions for a single drug from more than one doctor at the same time. More news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C.
The auction website eBay removed a listing Thursday from a British man who was attempting to sell one of his kidneys to finance medical treatment for his sick daughter. Peter Randall told the Sun newspaper that he was trying to raise money for special therapy for his six-year-old daughter, Alice, who suffers from cerebral palsy. A spokesman for eBay said the advertisement, which had been running for a week with no bids, was pulled when the company was alerted to its presence Thursday morning. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
Do you love children? Of course you do. Does your heart break for abused and neglected children? Of course it does. Does your heart yearn so strongly to help such children that you'd be willing to make a tax-deductible contribution of $500,000 to get ready to sob with the joy of charitable giving, Tom DeLay? Yes, DeLay, the notorious boss of the Congress who is nicknamed the Hammer for his heavy-handed raising of corporate political money in exchange for legislative favors. And now, proving that no low is too low for Tom, he has created a charity named Celebrations for Children, using abused and neglected kids as a draw for more corporate money. The Tom's Charity was set up specifically to be used as a fundraising funnel at the 2004 Republican National Convention, and it has mailed a slick 13-page booklet to corporate donors that appeals less to their charitable instincts than to their greed. The booklet asks for donations ranging from $10,000 to $500,000, promising that the CEOs and lobbyists who give will get exclusive FaceTime with DeLay and other key GOP lawmakers during the convention week. Top donors, for example, are going to enjoy a quiet spin on a yacht with Tom, plus play golf with him, and get two private dinners with him and his wife, among other special chances to schmooze with power. To add to the allure, the corporations are to get a tax deduction for their donations, meaning the rest of us taxpayers will get to subsidize their corrupt power fest. Also, since it's technically a charity rather than a political fund, Tom doesn't even have to tell us which corporations buy into this scheme, much less what favors they'll get in return. This is Jim Hightower saying, DeLay indignantly says that his charity is not about politics, yet it's being run by his political team, including his daughter and one of his longtime campaign fundraisers. He professes innocence with the same sincerity of a cat with feathers on its whiskers.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time.
I think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There is a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies.
Hold on just a moment, please.
Yeah! It's Friday!
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Well, she can't get it right every time, right? It is Friday. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Along with my pistol-packing compadre, our producer, Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Phone number here if you'd like to join in tonight, 800-TALK-YES. The email address, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. We have a lot to cover tonight. Bush was at a Home Depot. See, I always want to say Home Depot, but the last time I tried that, you know, people say, it's Depot. Okay. So Bush was at a Home Depot in Maryland today talking about the 57,000 jobs created in November. This is like somebody who falls into a 100-foot deep hole, and they manage to claw their way 3 feet from the bottom of the hole, and then they start applauding themselves, right? Now the net job loss under Bush's watch is only 2,943,000, so I guess that's great news, right? Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? I just do. Bush then went to a Baltimore fundraiser and raised $1 million for his campaign, which was the only reason he was there. We also found out today through NPR that Walmart has contributed, what was the number, Kathy? 1.9 million? What did I say? Walmart? All right. Home Depot has contributed 1.9 million to Republican and Bush campaign. What's going to be left for where you and I can go shop? The local food co-op, we can still go to Sevenanda here in the Atlanta area. We can still go there. Wow. Also, what we have for tonight, a domestic... Sears? That's right. Sears is still a good one. Costco is a good one. That's right. Yeah. That's the only retailer that Walmart is apparently in fear of. Also, we have for tonight, a domestic terror plot that is flying under the radar screens of most media, except CBS. And my old friend, Dr. Roger Libby, joins us in our third hour. We're going to talk about sex. Talk about responsible lust. If you want to read his article real quick, go to commondreams.org. Scroll way down. You have to go to the bottom of the list and then click on, what does it say, more stories? And it was from December 2nd. It was only 3 days ago this was published in the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, but the Common Dreams runs these stories through pretty quick. But it's the title is Responsible Lust is Healthy, Normal. That's my man. That's Roger. Yeah, he's going to be on tonight during the third hour. We have a little item here. Alan Colmes, you know, who has a book out, the liberal co-host of the Fox News program, Hannity and Colmes. The item says, Alan Colmes lost an argument to his nephew, Brian, while babysitting the 8-year-old Monday of this week. Brian said, I wanted to stay up late to watch television, but Uncle Alan said, there's already too much self-parenting in America. Brian said, so I started screaming, Mom lets me, real loud. Uncle Brian Uncle Alan gave in after like 20 seconds. And according to this article, in the past 2 years, young Master Brian has won arguments with Alan Colmes on the subjects of Pokemon cards, Crunchberry cereal, and steel tariffs. Where's this from? Oh, The Onion. Thanks for the heads up. From out in Bushville, one of our regular correspondents, Anna, emails in, Mike, it's impossible to recreate the low, mordant chuckle that keeps making a NASCAR lap in my brain. So all I can do here is cite the circumstances. Here goes. For years, the pig man has railed against socialized medicine. He has preached that the government has stymied the personal responsibility of individuals from investing their time and energy in finding the best product for the best price. The pig man's notion that healthcare is a commodity rather than a public service exposes his horrific anti-life mindset. So just how does this work? Well, if you're having a heart attack, are you supposed to call around for the best price? If the Mayo Clinic state-of-the-art MRI costs more than, say, Dr. Moreau's tin cans between two strings MRI, just what's a responsible individual to do? Or how about if that individual just can't afford any of the alternatives? Are you getting the drift? For years and years, the pig man has railed that the government has prevented responsible individuals from finding and thus creating the best health care practices and prices. And now the Mahatma Pigman himself is facing federal charges for doctor shopping. Does it get any better than this? The Pigman got exactly what he wanted. Despite George Bush's and Russia's advice, shopping aimed at the lowest common denominator is not necessarily the best way to structure a civilization. Duh. From Anna. Yeah, that's a good point, Anna. Pigman, who has talked about shopping, doctor shopping, and now he is facing hard time. I hope Rush Limbaugh goes to prison. I do. It will right a whole list of wrongs that this thug has perpetrated against the American public. I have a hard time wishing people into prison, period. And an extremely difficult time where it concerns prison for drug charges. But this is not, as far as I'm concerned, this is not drug charges. This is the drug conspiracy charges. This is threatening and forcing somebody else into a criminal conspiracy. That would be his housekeeper. This is lying and hypocrisy. This is thievery. It's fraud. It's all that and more. It's money laundering. So again, I don't know if there is a Santa Claus, Rush Limbaugh will be indicted. I frankly think he's going to be. I do believe it. Like I said, I don't like to make predictions. I think his career is winding down. Of course, it doesn't matter. He's had a fairly long run. He's made hundreds of millions of dollars. He will always be remembered fondly in the brain-dead cranial spaces that his diddle heads carry around on top of their shoulders as their leader, their guru, the one who taught them to think. But I think his career is over. It's just a matter of time. He's getting more and more desperate, and the net is closing. It's not a fishing expedition, Rush. It's called gathering evidence. What is this? Peter sent this in. The discrepancies about that firefight, alleged firefight that occurred in Iraq, it's terrible that we have to talk about this. But given the fact that this administration is so dishonest, given the fact that the truth always is the first casualty of war, but the fact that the Bush administration, the Bush crime family, revels, wallows, bathes, drinks lies. Anything they say is a lie. So when something comes from their military machine, that has to be reconsidered very closely. And Peter wrote in, Mike, one of the most interesting comments I've read on the recent incident at Samara, where Fox News says we killed 55 bad guys, is this, that came from what looks like a very useful source, the Christian Science Monitor. And quoting from that, it says, one of the main reasons for the discrepancies regarding how many people were killed, isn't it awful we have to talk about this, is the lack of bodies found after the fight. U.S. military spokesmen have repeatedly said that the surviving insurgents immediately took away most of their comrades' bodies. But media reports have cast doubt on the mathematics used by the U.S. The French news agency points out that according to U.S. Lieutenant Colonel Ryan Gonzalez, a total of 60 insurgents, 60 fighters divided into two groups, attacked two military convoys in the town, two U.S. military convoys in the town. Another four fighters in a BMW attacked a separate engineering convoy. If the U.S. troops killed 46, as it was announced in earlier reports, and captured 11 of them, only three of the survivors would have been left to pick up all the corpses, which is impossible. Purely and simply, on the figures given by U.S. Brigadier General Mark Kimmett, the calculus becomes even hazier. With 54 killed, 22 wounded, and one captured, 13 fighters remain unaccounted for. Yeah, it would be difficult, would it not, for three bedraggled, what are they called, dead-enders by the illustrious U.S. Defense Department leader Donald Rumsfeld, for three dead-enders to cart off 46 bodies. They are so dishonest that even the reports from the battlefield turn out to be lies and deceptions. That is, it is just, I don't know. I don't know. All right. Michael sent in a couple of items for me here. I'll get to it in a second. Well, Marianne is calling. Is this our Aurora Bureau Chief from Illinois? It is indeed. Hi, Marianne.
Hi there. Back from Vegas.
Oh, well, good for you.
Yeah. Well, it was sort of half business, but, it was good that I was not on the Internet for a few days. You really sort of have this, it's like a weight lifts off of you. When you're just sitting there looking at the gorgeous architecture of the Mandalay Bay or the white putty cats at the Mirage, you're like, oh, my God, Allah is really going to kill us for all this, but it's kind of pretty to look at.
Yeah, and you forget all the ugliness.
Yes, right.
I understand that's what it's designed to do in Las
Vegas.
That's
exactly right. And thank God, it's like I didn't see any little kids at the Bellagio
around.
That was getting on my nerves like when I first went there a couple years ago, I thought, well, what are these little kids doing? This is a vice. I'm sitting here at the nickel machine myself.
Well, especially the shows, the Cirque du Soleil that has the nude.
Oh, well, that's kind of getting back to old Vegas now.
Yeah, it is.
To some of the old timers I was talking to, like, oh, yeah, you know, and I think the Treasure Island is getting rid of their sort of kiddie-oriented pirate show. And
Naked Pirates. I like that. I like that. I like that a lot, yeah.
But anyway.
Hey, let me put you on hold a second. We got a break here. I'll come right back to you, I promise. Naked Pirates, it gives a whole new meaning to the use of an eye patch, doesn't it?
War, we'll negotiate. 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
This is Eric Muller reporting from Chopper 5.
Cut!
News happens fast. Can I afford to let a cold slow me down? Not up here. When I'm achy, with a stuffy nose and a sore throat, I take Advil Cold and Sinus. It's got the power of Advil to handle tough pain, plus a hard-working decongestant. That's why they call it Advil Cold and Sinus.
Quick, over to the highway.
I call it fast relief for a reporter on the fly.
For tough colds, advance to Advil Cold and Sinus. Use as directed.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today? Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We're talking with our Aurora, Illinois Bureau Chief, Marianne. All right, you're back from Las Vegas. And
yeah, but, you know, right before I left, I was following the story of this Amaro attack. And the first time I heard about it, something seemed wrong, and I didn't know why.
What,
the successful victory over the so-called double ambush, where
our
guys killed
all these dead people.
49.
Yeah.
Then they killed 54. And for some reason, I had an image out of that movie, this Manchurian Candidate, where their little puppet senator is giving all kinds of numbers for how many commies there are. He wants a number to, so he can keep it straight, so they look at the Heinz 57 ketchup bottle.
Well, it reminded me. It reminded me. Remember now, this is the same regime, the Bush regime and Bremer and the rest of these people who are pillaging and murdering in Iraq, that refused to give any numbers for anything. They said, we don't keep track of enemy dead. All of a sudden they are, which would lead me to believe that we have now entered truly entered the Vietnam phase of this war, the body counts.
Oh, well, you know, come on. If they're moving their lips, they're lying.
Well, yes.
Later that night, I get BBC on our national public radio station at Northern Illinois. I can get out here in Aurora, and the story that the BBC was telling was at such odds with the story I had just heard earlier that day that there was no reconciling it. It wasn't a matter of interpretation or somebody.
Right.
I mean, it was just flat out not the same. Even on NPR the next day, they were talking to the doctor at the hospital in that town in Samarra and said, well, he saw 8 bodies. And 90% of the wounded he treated were like little kids, old people, definitely not the combatants.
Yeah, civilians. And the reports then started to surface through the foreign press that American GIs went crazy. They were firing all over the place, firing anything that moved and things that weren't moving, that there was no attack as described by U.S. Command Central over there. And you know, I just wonder how much more of this we're going to stand.
That's funny that you should say this, because I hadn't heard that, but I had a friend of mine whose friend has a son over there and gets regular phone calls and says about the same thing, that whenever they hear something, people start firing. And I mean, they're just spooked.
Right.
And I thought that maybe that might have been part of it, too. But this is what's really disturbing about it is how widespread the story was in all the major newspapers. And I only saw the headlines, and I only heard the radio for a few days there because I wasn't on internet.
Mm-hmm.
And just how complicit they are. Now, the Christian Science Monitor, well, that's a different newspaper, because I think that's still independently owned.
Yeah, it is.
And they send their own reporters out.
Right, and it's a good paper. It's an excellent paper. They have always been extremely fair and objective when they are reporting on the horrors that all the various sides can perpetrate against each other in the Middle East. So the reporting from the Christian Science Monitor, where it concerns issues in the Middle East, whether it's from the Israeli perspective, Palestinian perspective, Iranian, Iraqi, Assyrian, they are eminently fair. They're probably one of the most fair newspapers on the planet where it concerns
that. But they're just one newspaper. And I guess my concern is like, what happens now when the war is, I mean, we're losing this war.
Yes,
because every day, everything that happens turns more people against us over there.
I think you're absolutely right. We are losing. I think the losses are going to increase. I don't know if any of the Democratic candidates, Dennis Kucinich has an exit plan. Most of the rest of them are talking about including or increasing the number of soldiers there. So I don't know. It doesn't look good, Marianne.
Well, I mean, just in terms of the reporting, I mean, I personally don't know the answer right now, because I knew it was wrong to go in there, and our worst fears have been confirmed.
That's right.
But the problem is that if we have a completely complicit media, I mean, these guys can do just about anything. And I've always claimed that they don't care about winning the war. They care about waging it.
That's it, exactly.
And
Marianne, we got a boogie.
All right.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right.
All right, take care.
We don't get fooled again.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George VI to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A new wave of disease is springing from our difficult relationship with the environment. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. SARS, West Nile virus, and monkeypox recently joined a growing list of diseases that have jumped from animals into humans. Mark Jerome Walters says we can expect more to come. Walters is the author of a new book called Six Modern Plagues, and he says we've entered into an age of what he calls ecodemics.
They can come from many sources. Many may have lingered for many, many years, even thousands of years, in the environment. And then for the first time, somehow, people have come in direct contact with it and become infected.
Walters says Lyme disease is one example. It spread after suburban development put people into prime Lyme disease habitat along the edges of hardwood forests. Walters says many new and emerging diseases infect humans after undergoing genetic changes that make them more infectious. He says HIV appears to be a mutated form of a disease that was present in apes. People likely became infected by eating chimpanzees, a practice that spread when loggers moved deep into Central African forests. Walters says our crowded world and changing climate are perfect for the spread of disease-causing organisms.
We are not protected the way communities once were, isolated from an outbreak with vast stretches of geography or rivers in between or oceans. The world is becoming one large petri dish, and this has taken us into an era of ecodemics that we are probably going to be in for a very, very long time.
That's Mark Jerome Walters, author of Six Modern Plagues. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, to talk to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Truth, justice, and the American way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Welcome back. 27 before the hour. Okay, I'm getting a little discombobulated here. I guess it's because it's Friday, and I so look forward to Fridays. Michael sent in a couple of letters to the editor, and he was one of many people who sent in the story about the domestic terrorism, which we will get to a little bit later in the program, but one of the emails that Michael sent in is from the Tucson Citizen, or not email, but I mean letter, you know, letter to the editor. Hello. From the Tucson Citizen. This letter was written by Emery Metz Wright Jr., M.D. And the letter to the editor that was published in the Tucson Citizen says, executions would halt killings. Dr. Wright Jr. writes in his letter to the editor, we can stop the murders of American soldiers in Iraq by those who seek revenge or to regain their power. Whenever there is an assassination or another atrocity, we should proceed to the closest mosque and execute 5 of the first Muslims we encounter. After all, this is a holy war, And although such a procedure is not fair or just, it just might end the horror. Machiavelli was right, and Ward is more affected to be feared than loved, and the end result would be a more equitable solution for both giving us a chance to build a better Iraq for the Iraqis. This guy's an M.D. I wouldn't go to this, bad word coming, to this son of a bitch if I had a, if my heart exploded in my chest. Can you imagine this guy? Emory Metz Wright Jr., doctor, writes a letter to the Tucson Citizen. Oh, yeah, go into their mosques, grab the first five, and execute them. How does this society produce this kind of sickness? That's not bad enough for you? Here's another one. This is from the Amarillo, Texas newspaper. Oh, my God. Letters to the editor. Another name for war protesters. This is written by sonar technician Derek Job, J-O-B-E, U.S. Navy, Amarillo, Texas. I am a United States sailor. I have chosen to defend my country and the freedom some take for granted. I love my country, my family, my freedom. Only by the blood which was shed by the service members before me did we receive this freedom. There are some, though, who do not appreciate this freedom. I call these people traitors. They call themselves protesters. They are nothing more than an infectious disease that infests the minds and hearts of the Americans we are defending. It consumes the honor and courage within its host until it kills the very patriotism that made this country. There is no cure for this disease. Never will everyone be satisfied. But let it be known what this guardian of America's freedom thinks of these protesters. Traitors should be hanged. I hold our enemies in higher standing. At least they are willing to fight for their beliefs and the country they love. Signed, Derek Loeb, U.S. Navy, sonar tech. Well, you stupid little rat bastard. Are you this dumb? Did the Navy get this far into your head? Did they? This guy is a disgrace to his uniform, isn't he? He's an absolute, he belongs in the Oliver North camp. God, how do we produce these animals? How? What is it? What is it? And you can't blame it on some drill instructor. In the first place, you can tell by this guy's terminology that he's some evangelical Protestant religious freak. Only by the blood that was shed. You know, you can just tell by the way he uses language. It's just sick. I have more respect for my enemies. At least they're willing to fight for their beliefs. What the hell do you think protesters are doing, you young punk? And the country they love. What do you think the protesters are doing, you brain-dead, jarhead young punk? What a disgrace to the Navy. What a disgrace to the Navy. Of all the thousands, hundreds of thousands of dedicated men and women who have served the United States Navy to truly protect freedom and justice. And then you have some little snot like this come along and completely pervert the Constitution, the oath you take when you go in the service and the U.S. Navy. You're a disgrace, sailor. Get out and go to Walmart. That's get a job at Walmart and sell Bibles or something door to door. That's what you need to do. Oh, I hate these people. I've already said that tonight. Well, it is Friday, and that means Brother Sky Blue is in the neighborhood calling from Memphis, Tennessee. Brother Sky, welcome to the program.
Yes, good evening, Mike. I can't believe I actually heard your name mentioned on the cable news station last week.
Oh, on CNN?
Yeah, I think we was interviewing, was it John Fenton or
no, it
somebody
was
else that was talking about the religious left?
Mark Walsh, the guy who's starting new network, right.
Yeah, maybe you could put something about that on your website if you get some more information.
Well, that's fair enough. I'll certainly do that. It was good to know that the Progress Media Network is looking at yours truly for a possible slot, and I hope that comes about.
Well, I won't try to filibuster you tonight because I understand it's your show. One thing about this Michael Jackson thing, you know this Tom Snedden, this prosecutor out there in Santa Barbara?
Yeah, Snedden?
Well, he's not a racist. He's an equal opportunity bigot.
Yeah,
he caught this white man down at the shopping mall down there having little kids come and set up on his lap. He's got him in jail out there in Santa Barbara. Guy calls himself Santa Claus.
Yeah?
Yeah, and Snedden, district attorney, prosecutor Snedden, he wants anybody that thinks their child might have been fondled by this guy, or maybe they sat on his lap and it felt like he had a roll of quarters in his pocket or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's on about $3 to $10 million bond.
Yeah, big guy in a red suit?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
All right.
You know, Michael Jackson, he set the standard for these music videos. I wouldn't turn on to Michael Jackson until the last few years, and I got to watching these music videos.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there used to be something called an artistic license. Now, I'm not promoting pedophilia or anything. You know, I was molested by a priest when I was in the fifth grade.
Uh-huh.
But it didn't bother me a bit. I liked it. As a matter of fact, I did 3 years in the fifth grade.
I thought you meant you liked the molesting.
Well, you know, same thing happened to Jesus. It's in the Bible. All the little kids was coming around, and they said, "We got to run off these little kids." And he said, "No, suffer not the kingdom, the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God."
That's right.
Unless you understand the truth and allow it to work in you as a little child. You see, all these religious people today they're being kept from hearing the truth about the New Age Christianity, the New Jerusalem. You know, we talk about
Swedenborg?
Utopian, yeah, utopian society,
right.
one world religion.
Right.
You know, these fundamentalist shysters, if they were, they could be funny if they weren't.
A danger.
Danger, trying to force these fantastic beliefs and doctrine of theirs on our whole society. You know, they're not as stupid as they come on. You know, they don't actually believe that dinosaurs lived with men 6,000 years ago.
I think they do believe that.
Well, the one thing they do believe, though, is that the Book of Revelations has foreordained that the world be brought into a big battle over the state of Israel. Called Armageddon,
right.
And they're going to do everything in their power to make sure this happens again because they don't believe that Jesus can come before this Armageddon happens.
That's right. That's right.
Well, let's see. You know, the only thing we can fight this religion, religious right, is with true Christianity and true religion, and that's why I'm looking forward to this. New Liberal Talk Radio. You know, I'm glad you're on tonight because you know it's a bad night for TV when the best thing on is Sean Hannity interviewing Franklin Graham and Barry Manilow sings Christmas special.
That's pretty bad.
So, I'm going to be looking forward to this liberal media. You know, I bet Kathy likes Barry Manilow, doesn't she?
Oh, no. She'd like to open a vein in his neck. But
yeah, it's real nice to have somebody like that screen your calls. You know, I'm used to on these right-wing shows you call in and they got somebody and they want to feel you out. You know, after one time, I've got to change my name,
right.
Change the city I'm calling from.
That'll work.
Yeah, I'd like to speak to Rush. What do you want to speak about? What are you going to say? Take this acid test, you know. All right, Mike. Well, I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Did indeed.
Brother. All right, Brother Sky, thank you for checking in. All right, you have a good weekend, sir. Brother Sky Blue, one of the greatest blues guitarists in the history of Memphis, not to mention also one of the greatest street preachers in that city. Did you get the feeling that Brother Sky might have had a slight cold or something tonight, Kathy? He seemed just a tad.
He was a little slowed down.
A little slowed down?
I could make out virtually every word this time.
Yeah.
Usually there's only about half that I get.
When Brother Sky.
Although my favorite still has to be when he talked about Rush's first trip to rehab and how hearing was overrated.
Yeah, well, when Brother Sky, when you can hear every word he's saying, when he is that articulate,
yes.
I think he might have been a little depressed.
A little under the weather.
A little under the weather, something, yeah. All right. But we always love to hear from Brother Sky because he is one of the touchstones of this program, is he not? Joshua is calling from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Joshua, welcome to the program. You're calling from the area where they found the body of that prosecutor. Wasn't it Lancaster County?
Yeah, it was in Ephrata, which is actually like a stone's throw from where I'm at.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time in York and Harrisburg and Lancaster and Hershey and Ephrata and Wellsville and all those little towns around there. Yeah. You're not involved in that killing?
Oh, good Lord, no.
Okay, good. Right. Just checking.
Yeah, well, you know, you can't be too careful.
That's right. That's very true.
Yeah, well, I was calling because I play in a band, and we're doing a show tomorrow at a Christian coffee club.
You play in a Christian band?
Oh, no.
Well, there seems to be a problem here, then. If you don't play in a Christian band, but you're going to play in a Christian coffee shop, what's your playlist for tomorrow? What are you going to play?
Well, we're going to play, you know, most of our basic songs, but we're going to, I thought it'd be appropriate to talk about the, you know, General Boykin situation toward the end of the set.
You're going to say that to the people who come to hear you?
Well, I'm going to let them know, you know, what's going on with that and tell them about the holy war that's going on.
Well, I think it's good. You're going to wait and have this little discussion toward the end of your set.
Yeah, probably before the second to last song.
That would be a good idea because you might, if there are adults present, you know, people over the age of 40, they might want to come up and pummel you and your bandmates about the head and shoulders for being disrespectful to a God-fearing general who's only out there trying to kill people in the name of Christ.
Well, it may not be so bad that we tell them about the general, but what I'm going to suggest that maybe if people are supporting a holy war in Iraq, they might be as bad as the people that float planes into the World Trade Center on 9/11.
That's an excellent point, Joshua. Are you getting paid for this gig?
Probably not. I don't think they're charging the door, so we're not asking for any money.
Okay, I was going to say, if you were, get paid before you take the stage.
Oh,
Yeah, I used to manage a band back in an entirely different lifetime. And all over the South here, and we used to play at roadhouses and juke joints and some pretty divey places. And my job was to book the gigs and also to collect the money. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of times when I wound up behind the clubs, back in the alley, trying to explain to the owner of the club and a couple of his goons why we really didn't want to have our $700 fee cut down to $350, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a real good business when you're the band's manager.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to play, but I'm too stupid to handle an instrument other than the violin. And, I at the time, there was no such thing as rock violin, although there is now.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of good fiddle players who also play rock.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to say the name of your band or?
Well, we're called Two Piece Parlor.
Two Piece?
Parlor.
Parlor?
Yeah, it's an old name, but we can't seem to get rid of it. We've had it for so long that if we changed it, people wouldn't know who we were anymore.
Do you have any, the members of your band, are any of them members of the Pennsylvania Dutch sect?
The no.
Amish?
You know, no.
The Amish? No? No, no Amish.
No, unfortunately, contrary to popular belief, not everybody in Lancaster is Amish.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, I certainly know that. But I just thought maybe, I guess that would be frowned on, having Amish band members.
I don't know. Well, I don't know any of my Amish neighbors that really played any instruments. So,
yeah,
you know,
well,
I might have considered it.
Well, if it's a modern rock band, they would have to use, you know, electricity, and that's kind of frowned on.
Yeah, that is.
With the Amish, you know, to have electric guitar. Is that what I said? I don't even know what I just said. But anyway, so you're playing tomorrow night?
Yeah.
All right, when do you go out on tour? When do you open for the Stones?
Oh, that'd be great to open for the Stones, but probably not for a little while.
Not for a little while? How many people in your band?
There's three of us.
Three, all guys?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, drums, bass, and lead?
Yep.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay, when are you going to add a keyboard player?
Well, we're considering it, actually. We're looking for somebody, but haven't found anybody quite yet.
All right, well, if you ever put together a demo or whatever, put it in MP3 format and send it to us, and we'll play it on this program.
That'd be excellent.
All right, Joshua.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in. I love rock and rollers, don't you, Kathy? I mean, especially young rock and rollers. That's the driving force. Young rock and rollers. The only thing I just wish he would have said, he had a girl in the band, too, you know, because... Quick break, we'll be right back. Maybe the keyboard player will be female. What do you think?
All the do is piss and moan. Inside the Rolling Stones, talking about a hard life care. I'm this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Mm. You'll sleep like
a... Okay up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Andy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware, John Seip from United Marketing Force, Jay Brentlinger from Orban, and, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show, take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years, so join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Yeah.
talk radio right. From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Patrick, one of our listeners, was reading the AJC, and one of my favorite columnists there is Jay Bookman. Bookman wrote a column entitled, This War, Not Against Terrorists. In other words, what he's saying is what Bush is doing in Iraq is not a fight against terrorism, it's creating terrorism. Patrick read the column and then wrote a letter to Jay Bookman, and he sent me a copy. Mr. Bookman, I liked your editorial in the Journal Constitution so much that it is only with some reluctance that I draw attention to a couple of sentences that struck me as quite odd, especially since your analysis is one of the most recent that I've read on the subject. In paragraph 6, you say, quote, instead, the guerrillas who are launching mortars at our military bases, attacking our troops on patrol, or hiding booby traps on Iraqi highways, are native Iraqis who are trying to evict American troops from their country. Despicable and cowardly as their tactics are, the Iraqi resistance is almost entirely Iraqi, end quote. Well, Mr. Bookman, why are their tactics despicable and cowardly? What is despicable and cowardly about hiding booby traps to inflict damage on an occupying force? After all, maybe as many as 10,000 Iraqis, most of them innocent men, women, and children, died in the U.S. bombing blitz, which in earlier pieces you may have described also as despicable and cowardly. I don't know. The U.S. didn't announce when or where it would begin its awesome and shocking bombing campaign, did it? Would you agree that it was despicable and cowardly for the United States to deliver some of the most devastating bombs in its arsenal at night from distances and heights so great that there was absolutely no defense? General Assembly Resolution, Mr. Bookman, 3743, dated 3 December 1982, quote, reaffirms the legitimacy of the struggles of people for independence, territorial integrity, national unity, and liberation from colonial and foreign domination and foreign occupation by all available means, including armed struggle. In addition, Mr. Bookman, please remember the context of this admittedly illegal war. Other than that one point, sir, the piece is among the most astute analysis of the situation that I've read so far. Thank you, Patrick.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. With guerrilla attacks overshadowing reconstruction efforts in Iraq, the Pentagon is considering formation of a specialized force to help shepherd war-torn countries from the end of major combat to the start of civilian nation-building, government officials say. In an about-face for the Bush administration, defense officials are quietly examining proposals including a small joint services unit of a few thousand troops that could be assembled in as little as a year to perform policing, civil affairs, engineering, medical, and other duties in hotspots such as Iran and Afghanistan. The Bush administration campaigned on a policy of no nation building. Iraqi guerrillas will step up attacks in the next few months in an attempt to thwart a transfer of sovereignty from the occupation authority to a new Iraqi government, the top U.S. administrator in Iraq said Friday. But L. Paul Bremer said in an interview with Associated Press TV News that U.S. forces were getting better intelligence in the fight against insurgents who stage attacks daily. Hours before he spoke, a roadside bomb hit a U.S. military convoy in Baghdad, killing one soldier. Two Iraqi civilians also died, and 13 were wounded. Investigators who raided the offices of Rush Limbaugh's doctors said in search warrants filed Thursday that the conservative radio commentator engaged in illegal drug use and doctor shopping for prescription painkillers. The warrants, which named four doctors and several prescription drugs, show investigators were looking for medical, insurance, and appointment records for Limbaugh, as well as cash receipts and prescription forms when they raided two offices November 25th. No charges have been filed and no arrests have been made. Mr. Limbaugh's actions violate the letter and spirit of the law that relates to doctor shopping, stated one of the warrants, signed by Asim Brown, a law enforcement agent assigned to the State Attorney's Office Anti-Money Laundering Task Force. Doctor shopping refers to looking for a doctor willing to prescribe drugs illegally or getting prescriptions for a single drug from more than one doctor at the same time. More news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C.
A man who stole a Salvation Army donation pot outside a drugstore was hit by a car as he tried to run away, police said. The man grabbed the pot Tuesday and pulled it away after a short struggle with a volunteer. As he started to run away, he was struck by a Honda sedan and police captured him. The red pot and $53.97 inside were returned to the Salvation Army. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So, you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Do you love children? Of course you do. Does your heart break for abused and neglected children? Of course it does. Does your heart yearn so strongly to help such children that you'd be willing to make a tax-deductible contribution of $500,000 to, get ready to sob with the joy of charitable giving, Tom DeLay? Yes, DeLay, the notorious boss of the Congress who is nicknamed the Hammer for his heavy-handed raising of corporate political money in exchange for legislative favors. And now, proving that no low is too low for Tom, he has created a charity named Celebrations for Children, using abused and neglected kids as a draw for more corporate money.
The Tom's Charity was set up specifically to be used as a fundraising funnel at the 2004 Republican National Convention, and it has mailed a slick 13-page booklet to corporate donors that appeals less to their charitable instincts than to their greed. The booklet asked for donations ranging from $10,000 to $500,000, promising that the CEOs and lobbyists who give will get exclusive FaceTime with DeLay and other key GOP lawmakers during the convention week. Top donors, for example, are going to enjoy a quiet spin on a yacht with Tom, plus play golf with him, and get two private dinners with him and his wife, among other special chances to schmooze with power. To add to the allure, the corporations are to get a tax deduction for their donations, meaning the rest of us taxpayers will get to subsidize their corrupt power fest. Also, since it's technically a charity rather than a political fund, Tom doesn't even have to tell us which corporations buy into this scheme, much less what favors they'll get in return. This is Jim Hightower saying, DeLay indignantly says that his charity is not about politics, yet it's being run by his political team, including his daughter and one of his longtime campaign fundraisers. He professes innocence with the same sincerity of a cat with feathers on its whiskers.
A chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Boy, you really have to be over a certain age to appreciate the Moody Blues, don't you? Earlier in the program tonight, I read the letter to the editor that appeared in the Amarillo, Texas newspaper from sonar technician Derek Loeb, U.S. Navy, about executing people who disagree with his particular mindset, which is kill them all for Christ. I got a little bit off my nut when I read that thing because I said, you know, this guy's a disgrace to the Navy. Tom from Marietta, Georgia, who is a Navy vet, wrote in and said, Mike, you've got to understand, in the Navy we called sonar techs ping jockeys for good reason. All that time they spend listening to high-pitched noises gets to their brains after a while. When one goes off on a rant, just make a high-pitched pinging noise, and they'll quiet right down. Love the show, as always. Tom from Chile, Marietta, Georgia. Tom was in the Navy from 1971 through 1978. He was electronics tech. Ping jockeys, huh? Ping, ping, ping. Reminds me of every submarine movie I've ever seen. Ron wrote this in. Mike, you remember the 1984 film Red Dawn? Lots of people are comparing our situation in Iraq to the Vietnam quagmire, but the more I hear about what's going on over there, the more I keep thinking about the movie Red Dawn. Now, Ron wrote this in response to the letter to the to Jay Bookman that you heard me read right before the break about Bookman, whom I love. I've met him. Kathy, you and I have met Jay Bookman. He's a nice guy, writes from the progressive left, excellent writer, but he talked about the despicable act of the Iraqis fighting for their country. Anyway, Ron writes in and says, the more I hear what's going on over there, the more I keep thinking about the movie Red Dawn. Do you remember the high school, the Wolverines in Colorado, who kept carrying out the guerrilla attacks against the Russian and Cuban invaders in the country? in this country. Change the invaded and occupied country in our current situation from Iraq to the United States. And change the invaders, occupiers from the Americans and British to the Russians and Cubans. And change the guerrilla resistors from Iraqis to Americans. And you have essentially the movie Red Dawn. Think about it. Yeah, I want every single American soldier to come home intact, unwounded, come back to your families, come home, live your life. The U.S. military can be used when it's needed. It is not needed now. It's being used as a huge prostitute to go commit murder for the Bush crime family. And it's awful. It's just awful. It's just awful. I want every soldier to come home. By the same token, when these Iraqis attack our people, it sets up a conflict inside of me that's almost impossible to deal with. I do not celebrate the death of anyone. I certainly do not celebrate the death of my countrymen who happen to be wearing the uniform of my country, even though they have been bastardized and whipped into a situation by the Bush crime family that is horrifying, just horrifying. It is illegal, it is immoral, it is unethical. And they are being killed, and they are killing to satisfy the blood and oil lust of one freaking moron, George Bush, and the thugs around him. And this is awful. I don't know. Were I in the military right now, enlisted or commissioned, I would go to whomever I had to go to and say, piss on you, I'm out of here. And if it meant brig time, so be it. No way. If I were an officer, I'd resign my commission. If I were an enlisted man, I'd break my contract. I swear before Koresh that that's what I would do. I don't wish ill will to any of my fellow Americans, these young men and young women, and in some cases middle-aged men and middle-aged women who have been dragooned into this filthy George Bush's despicable, bloody, nasty war. But just like the letter writer to Jay Bookman said, how is it so terrible if these people are fighting even the UN Charter? Says that when an occupying force has taken over your country, you have the right to resist. Awful. All right, we need a break here. It's getting too heavy. In a second, I've got two weird stories here for you. But who's on the line? W? Oh, Jesus, again? Well, it is Friday. Is this the governor of Texas?
I used to be the governor of Texas.
Yeah.
Now I'm your president.
Yeah, okay. Hi.
How you doing, Mickey? I got big important news I wanted to disseminate to your your listeners.
Okay. I'll give you a couple of minutes here. I don't like you, but go ahead.
Well, my super secret, double secret Iraq mission was a big success.
The turkey thing? The Thanksgiving thing?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And I've got another super secret mission. I'm going to the moon.
You're what? Excuse me?
I'm going to the moon.
You're going to the moon? You are?
Me personally. You've seen me as a fireman.
Yeah.
You've seen me as a fighter pilot.
Yeah.
You've seen me as a knight in shining armor over there at fucking Stone Palace.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to be an astronaut.
You're going to be an astronaut. You're going to enter astronaut training?
Well, I'm used to being spun around all dizzy-like.
Yeah, well, that's part of the training to be an astronaut for sure. There's also the thing about weightlessness. Of course, I guess you'd qualify for that. You are kind of weightless, aren't you?
As soon as I master the Segway, I'm on my way.
The Segway, the thing that runs on gyroscopes.
That's right.
Yeah, you have a tendency to fall off those things, right?
I learned my lesson. You have to turn it on.
Yeah. Well, that's very true.
If you don't turn it on, you fall down.
You fall. Yeah, that will happen. If you lean forward and it's not on, you're going to go right on your ass or your face. But in your case, I guess there's not a whole lot of difference, right?
So there's two programs I have to pursue.
Two.
First, have to find my spirit somewhere in Thailand.
Yeah, well, it's in a bottle. It's been thrown into the Perfume River or some river over there. Yeah, find your spirit. What's
I've got to find my spirit.
Find your spirit.
And I've got to ask for the American spirit to support me in my trip to the moon.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
See, the moon's made out of cheese.
You're sure of that?
I've been told.
You've been told. I'm sure somebody like Condoleezza Rice told you that, right?
An American cheese.
American cheese.
Is made out of oil.
Yeah, okay. No French cheese. No, none of that Roquefort.
No, I want the American cheese made out of oil.
Yeah, I got you. Okay.
When I get to the moon,
yeah,
I'm going to start drilling.
You're going to start chilling?
Drilling.
Drilling!
For that oil.
Yeah, You're a very
all that cheese oil.
You know you're a very sick man. You know that, don't you? Huh?
I might be sick, but I'm the president.
Yeah, well, that's okay. What?
Uncle Dick told me I was president.
What are you going to do if you find aliens on the moon, Mr. Bush?
I'm not in favor of aliens being on American soil, and since we've planted the flag up there.
That's American soil.
It's American soil. We're going to have to deport them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, is it just you going? Are you taking any Russian, any cosmonauts with you? Anybody? I mean, is any of the real astronauts going, like John Glenn? I mean, he went up there when he was...
John Glenn?
72, I think. Yeah, John Glenn.
He's a Democrat.
Well, yeah, that's true. He is.
You don't get to go.
But he's an astronaut.
We don't want no Democrats up there. I'm going to be taking Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, oh, good. And maybe Dr. Laura?
No, just Rush Limbaugh. We're going to be playing Major Tom on the on the music system there.
Yeah, Major Tom. All right. Well, Governor Bush, or whatever the hell you go by now, let us know how your moon trip...
I want to add one more thing about that plastic turkey.
The plastic turkey in Baghdad, yeah?
You know plastic is generated from oil.
Yeah, I know.
So it's a very important symbol.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
I got Scotty writing up a whole thing on it.
Yeah, and he'll have it at his next press conference.
Plastic oil.
Gotcha.
You remember that?
I'll try to, sir.
All right.
Sir, why am I calling you sir? I'll try to, Governor.
All right, you have a good weekend, Mickey.
Yeah, you too. Watch out for, I don't know.
I'm going to be in Crawford.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. What you think.
Well, you take care of yourself, okay?
All right.
All right. Thanks, W. I don't know. Well, you know, we Kathy captured him, so to speak, electronically earlier today. Actually, it was yesterday. This was the lighting of the National Christmas Tree. After his Healthy Forest Initiative, we're surprised that he lit it instead of chopping it down. But listen how he compares himself to Santa. Comparing himself to Christ... satisfies the terminally faithful, but comparing himself to Santa, we'll get the rest of them, I guess.
It's always good to see Santa. I know you got a lot of commitments this time of year. We also know how Santa gets around. He travels in the dark of night. He arrives unannounced, and he's gone before you know he was there. Santa, I can assure you it's a lot easier on a flying sled than it is on Air Force One.
Yeah. From the same little event, Peace on Earth Bush style, here's his comment after relating an abridged version of the biblical nativity story. This is what he had to say.
Mankind has been given a message first delivered by angels on a shepherd's field. Fear not. As we near Christmas in a time of war,
you thug.
These words bring comfort.
You thug.
We don't know all of God's ways.
He's going to get you.
Yet the Christmas story promises that God's purpose is justice, and His plan is peace.
That's plan A. Plan B is to, you'll find out. All right, quick break here. We'll be right back.
sometimes get encapsulated in a bubble.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Nah, I'm tired of this crappy job.
What? I thought you loved this job. You have a company car. You even have an expense account. Eh, what's the problem?
I have to listen to all this junk radio, and I miss all my favorite political talk shows like Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins. I have to beat a stupid job.
Why don't you listen to them on your computer like me?
Because for some stupid reason, I have to pay attention to what's going on at work or something like that. I don't remember. I wasn't listening. All I know is that I'm pretty cranky when I miss my shows.
You think?
I should just go over there and tell him that I'm not coming to work until I listen to my shows, and if he's got a problem with it, then we can go outside, punk.
Hold on there. Just listen to the best in political talk on Sundays.
The what?
The best in political talk on Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. You can hear the best of Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins.
Really? Well, that's better than picking a fight with the boss.
Yeah, you'll keep your job and your health.
What? You don't think I can take him?
He's big, dude.
I would waste him.
Yeah, right.
That's the best of political talk Sunday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. The other night you heard Nick from Warsaw, Ohio. When was that? Was it last night? Was it just last night? Nick from Warsaw, Ohio, who wrote a parody of Frosty the Snowman, Limbaugh the White Man. Limbaugh, the white man, has a very heavy Jones, and he just got caught shoving OxyContin into all his ugly holes. I'm not going to sing the whole thing, but anyway, we had a lot of requests, like people say, "Hey man, let me see those lyrics." So Mark Marshall, our webmaster, put it up at my website. Go to MikeMalloy.com, and on the left side of the main page, click Gallery. Go into the gallery, and you will see it. There's a link there. Just click on it, and Nick from Warsaw, Ohio, wrote it. And if you're going to go Christmas caroling this year, you might want to download the lyrics and sing that. Yeah, my God. All right, we are coming to our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, and a couple other people sent in this story about the Reagan Dime Act. Have you heard about this? As Chris says, there are people dying in Iraq, others losing their jobs, families, houses. Thanks to Manor Monkey's economy. Instead of these issues, Republic thugs in Congress are worried about whether or not Reagan's getting a fair shake in the CBS movie of the week, thus prompting the Reagan Dime Act. If you haven't said you hate them, feel free to say it now. How much I hate you. And Mark in Birmingham, among other people, a lot of people sent this in. Mark said, "Mike, I heard on NPR this morning that Congressman Mark Sauter of Indiana is trying to remove Franklin Roosevelt's face from the dime. Who do they want to replace him with? Well, hell, Mike, that's a no-brainer. Reagan. Makes perfect sense to me. All FDR did was help the United States get through its two greatest challenges of the 20th century, World War II and the Great Depression. What's so great about that? When you compare him to Reagan, it's a no-brainer that with all of Reagan's great accomplishments, he should be the one on our nation's dime." Well, we will get into this story and this one on domestic terrorism shortly. But Detroit Slim is calling in, and anybody who calls this program named Detroit Slim is going to get on the air. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing.
Okay, here's where it's at. I'm Detroit Slim. I was born and raised in Detroit. However, I live in the D.C. metro area, okay?
Okay, I got it. All right.
And today I had to drive from the D.C. area into Baltimore, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
That's only 30 miles, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Well, that's okay, right?
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay.
All right, 30 miles. All right.
So now the preface to this is, do you recall when Bill Clinton was accused of holding up air traffic in L.A.?
Yes, to get a haircut.
The haircut.
Yeah, another BS story from the Republicans, right?
Okay, good. We're having a conversation. Good.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's where it's at. It was before noon today, and I was driving up 95, and there's a rest area, and I'm noticing like at least 20 cop cars with their lights going, mm-hmm. and stuff like this,
mm-hmm.
and then I happen to notice a couple of black SUVs, right?
Right.
So people cannot get out of this rest area.
Right.
Then I continue to proceed up the road, and there's at the next entrance to 95, there's a couple of more SUVs, cop mm-hmm. cars, etc., and a pile up of cars, and then the next entrance, same thing.
Right.
And then I get to 395, which is...
Right, one of the belt lines.
Yeah, well, yeah. It takes you into the Inner Harbor.
Right.
And on the side that would put you onto 95, that's also clogged up with traffic stacked back up half a mile, okay?
All right, I have to put you on hold for a second. You've given us a buildup. We'll come back right after these commercial breaks and get the final finale to this story. I have a feeling that Detroit Slim is going to tell us that he was in the same area as Michael Jackson, but I may be wrong. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Politicians got lipstick on the collar. The whole media started to holler. But I don't give up who they screwing in private. I want to know who they screwing in public. Robbing, cheating, stealing, white collar criminal. McDonald eating, you deserve a beating. Send your home a weeping with the fat bill for your Caribbean weekend.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A new wave of disease is springing from our difficult relationship with the environment. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. SARS, West Nile virus, and monkeypox recently joined a growing list of diseases that have jumped from animals into humans. Mark Jerome Walters says we can expect more to come. Walters is the author of a new book called Six Modern Plagues, and he says we've entered into an age of what he calls ecodemics.
They can come from many sources. Many may have lingered for many, many years, even thousands of years, in the environment. And then for the first time, somehow, people have come in direct contact with it and become infected.
Walters says Lyme disease is one example. It spread after suburban development put people into prime Lyme disease habitat along the edges of hardwood forests. Walters says many new and emerging diseases infect humans after undergoing genetic changes that make them more infectious. He says HIV appears to be a mutated form of a disease that was present in apes. People likely became infected by eating chimpanzees, a practice that spread when loggers moved deep into Central African forests. Walter says our crowded world and changing climate are perfect for the spread of disease-causing organisms.
We are not protected the way communities once were, isolated from an outbreak with vast stretches of geography or rivers in between or oceans. The world is becoming one large petri dish, and this has taken us into an era of ecodemics that we are probably going to be in for a very, very long time.
That's Mark Jerome Walters, author of Six Modern Plagues. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this
Sunday
for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Okay, back to Detroit Slim, who actually lives in Washington, D.C. He was on a trip from D.C. to Baltimore, got on 95 and then 395, all sorts of black SUVs with the windows smoked out and lots of blue lights flashing on the expressway. Now, exit ramps blocked, rest stops blocked, everything blocked. All right, pick it up there, Slim.
So then I come down on and get onto the local streets and transverse the Inner Harbor, and there's, I don't know, maybe 100 to 200 people at this particular spot with a humongous banner. I'm talking a humongous banner, and it says Bush Lies. My first reaction was park the car and join them, but I had business to do, so I had to continue on. This was actually quite a day here in this area where you had Newt Gingrich on C-SPAN talking a bunch of garbage and Bush over at some Home Depot with his photo op. Mm-hmm. It just struck me that he could hold up all this traffic And I didn't see anything in the media about any of that today.
I haven't, nor have I.
No, and I'll tell you something else. You know, on his inauguration,
Yeah, I was there for that.
Oh, you were?
I was in D.C. I was at the counter inauguration down at DuPont Circle.
But... Oh, really? I was playing in my band at the Zoo Bar.
Oh, okay, okay.
Which is across from the National Zoo on Connecticut.
Yeah, yeah, know where it is.
Yeah.
We would have come to hear you play, except we were damn near frozen to death.
Yeah, it was a cold evening.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it was a cold evening. That's right. You've got to cut. So I'm standing in the Zoo Bar. Is a very small place with a huge glass front window kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm standing there playing guitar, and I happen to glance outside, and some car just hit a guy, right?
Yeah.
You know, some guy in a tux and stuff.
Yeah.
It just was sort of
ominous.
Yeah, you know.
Weird.
Weird, yeah.
Right. So, so what happened today? They were protesting Bush then, right?
They were protesting Good. Bush, and it was just became obvious to me that all that stuff about Bill Clinton was just so much stuff.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And how many people has this person inconvenienced to do his bidding?
How many people has he put to death? American soldiers, Iraqi civilians, Afghan civilians.
Right. And he might have been getting even a haircut on the way up.
Residents of Texas, he might have been. Hey, Detroit Slim, good to hear from you. I hope you call again, pal.
Yeah, can I be like the Chesapeake Bay Bureau Chief?
Chesapeake Bay Bureau Chief, you can be. Yeah,
okay.
We have a Washington, D.C. Bureau Chief, but we do not have a Chesapeake Bay Bureau Chief. You got it, dude.
All right, man.
All right, thank you. Detroit Slim calling from Washington, D.C. The dime story that our senior correspondent sent in and other people, Republicans are just, I wish we were totally on the internet, because I would like to use language other, I'd like to use language the way my hero Bart Cop uses language. Oh, God. This dime story, huh? The Republicans have their underpants all up in the cracks of their hinies, and they're very angry over the movie about Reagan. So in order to retaliate, they want to take a true American hero's visage, Franklin Roosevelt, off the dime and stick this this thuggish spy, another coward, liar, Ronald Reagan, on the dime. Democrats are just as determined to not let it happen. Some quotes here. James McGovern, who's a Democrat from Massachusetts, said, if they want to find another way to honor Reagan, I'm happy to join him, but leave the dime alone. Now, apparently about 80 of these half-witted Republicans have signed on to the Ronald Reagan Dime Act. And say that Roosevelt and his government expanded so much government with their New Deal, and it represents decades past, while Reagan's conservative anti-communist administration ushered in society as it exists today, which shows you how utterly and totally stupid these people are. You know, sometimes I think Roosevelt must be spinning in his grave. He did everything humanly possible. Here's a guy that was elected to four consecutive terms, and that's why we have a two-term limit now. That was a Republican trick, because they couldn't stand the fact that somebody like Roosevelt had taken the mess handed to him by Republicans and turned it into what he turned it into. But all of the New Deal legislation, all of the regulation that was passed that was designed specifically to protect capitalism. Every time I hear some little weasel like the baby Jesus or some thug like the pig man talking about the socialism of Franklin Roosevelt, I want to go wherever they are and just slap them until they ring like a three-penny nail hit with a greasy ball-peen hammer. Their ignorance is just so monumental. Roosevelt saved capitalism. He made it possible inadvertently for people like Ken Lay and Jeffrey Skilling to come in and rape the system. Roosevelt made it possible for people like Neil Bush to come in and rape the system without bringing the system entirely down. And now these little pissants, these little weasels, these little Republicans, who I wouldn't give you 10 cents for 100 of them, they want to take Roosevelt's picture off the, or visage off the dime and put on Ronald Reagan's. Ronald Reagan, the great liar.
Yes, well, Mommy, you know, I went to Auschwitz and freed the Jews.
You know, everything Reagan said was a lie. This is a guy who went to the Bitburg Cemetery. I mean, I could give you a million things, which I won't. There are stomach turners about Ronald Reagan, but never mind. This Mark Souder, a Republican from Indiana, said that the TV movie that depicts a doddering Reagan dominated by his wife Nancy, that's what, he says, that's what precipitated me, that's how he talks, introducing the bill at that time and why it was a lot easier to get a lot of support. He says he's got 89 co-sponsors to mint this dime. McGovern, the Democrat, says he has 80 sponsors opposing the bill. I mean, these are adults. This is what adults in this Congress do. Now, the dime has had Roosevelt's profile on it since 1946, a year after he died, in part commemorating his support for the March of Dimes campaign to fight polio. What the hell did Reagan do? Oh, that's right. Reagan liberated the death camps and freed the Jews. That's right. I'm sorry, I forgot. And brick by brick tore down the wall in dividing East and West Germany. Let's see what I... Oh, he stopped communism. Lech Wałęsa had nothing to do with that. The Polish Pope had nothing to do with that. That was all Reagan. Huh? Vaclav Havel had nothing to do with that. It was all Reagan. Another candy-ass Republican. I'll tell you. It is interesting that these Republicans would once again unzip their flies and urinate all over somebody who saved this country from a second revolution, actually, led this country through World War II, in favor of a little rat weasel, Ronald Reagan, who spied on the members of his own union, was a snitch to the crossdresser, J. Edgar Hoover. Betrayed his union friends, lied, married to a Jane Wyman and starts screwing Nancy. What's her name? Nancy, what was her maiden name? I don't either. A freak who couldn't even recognize his own family, his own kids, from his first marriage, not because he had Alzheimer's, but because he was just a total jackass. So here are these little tin-eared, oh, God, I get so tired of this. Don't y'all get tired of this? Kathy, don't you get tired of this? Let's get so tired of it. I hate Republicans. Do you have that song? Will you cue it up right now? Will you play just a little bit for me just to get me out of this? Go ahead. Go ahead. Pot it up.
I hate Republicans.
Feel a little bit better now. Chip is calling from Columbia, South Carolina. Hey, Chip.
Hey, how you doing? Before the story, I tell you, turned into another Jessica Lynch.
Yeah?
And nobody really wants to report it, but it actually happened.
Yeah? What's this?
Unfortunately, it was a soldier at Fort Jackson was killed in a live night fire exercise.
When was this?
This was, it was sometime this week.
Oh, at the Army Fort Jackson, South Carolina.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And okay, what's the story?
Okay, they were on an exercise maneuver,
mm-hmm.
and from what I can garner from WIS Television, which is one of our local television stations, he was shot in the chest. Now, it was under night conditions, and there's still a lot of questions to be begged.
Mm-hmm.
The Army has this under investigation. They showed the family on television, which, I mean, they were really, you know, really broken down about it, but they still said, we have complete confidence in the Army. But I think deep down inside, you know, they're really, you know, pissed off at the Army, you know, because now they've lost a son and all that. And myself, you know, I'm a vet, and, you know, there are a lot of questions being begged from me, like, why in the world were you using live ammunition? Because normally in training, the only time you use live ammunition when you're engaging targets.
Right.
And so I'm wondering, you know, why did this young 18-year-old lose his life, you know, in something that should have been, you know, blank ammunition with blank adapters. And speaking of Bitburg, I was there during that time between 84 and 88. When,
really?
When that net case went and visited that Nazi cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
He's a class ASS, you know, I don't want you to bleep me and everything like that. But I'm anti, you know, I'm the anti G. Gordon Liddy one and old Light in the Loafers, you know, over and all that. But
And what about our good friend Oliver North?
Oh, yeah.
What a disgrace to the United States Marine
definitely.
Corps that guy was.
I cannot believe he's over in the desert.
Yeah.
You know, I know what I wish would happen to him, but I don't wish that on anybody. I just want him just to, like, old soldiers don't die, they just fade away. Just let him just keep on fading and everything. But I enjoy your program. I wanted to let you know that because I think that's going to be national pretty soon. And before it turned into a Jessica Lynch, you heard it from the horse's mouth in here. I want to be your Southeast, your South Carolina bureau chief.
Do we have one, Kathy? What you're calling from Columbia? I know we don't have a Columbia bureau chief.
Yes, sir.
All right. How about Columbia? Columbia, South Carolina bureau chief.
Okay. Columbia, South Carolina bureau chief.
Yes, sir. You got it.
Signing off.
Thank you, Chip.
Take care. Have a
All right, sir. Appreciate it. He was at Bitburg, Germany. Are we going to get to this poison gas plot? I've got to just mention this. I know we're running out of time here, and Roger Libby, and I want you to stick around for Roger Libby. He's coming up in right after the break at the top of the hour. Federal authorities, this is back in May. I don't remember hearing anything about this. I really don't. This is a CBS 11TV.com. Which is a local CBS station where? In Texas, I believe. And they have this on their website. I'll put it up when the program's over tonight. Federal authorities this year, back in May, mounted one of the most extensive investigations of domestic terrorism since the Oklahoma City bombing. Three people linked to white supremacist and anti-government groups are in custody. At least one weapon of mass destruction, a sodium cyanide bomb capable of delivering a deadly gas cloud, has been seized in the Tyler area. That'd be Tyler, Texas. Investigators have seized at least 100 other bombs, bomb components, machine guns, 500,000 rounds of ammunition, and chemical agents. But the government also found some chilling personal documents indicating that unknown co-conspirators may still be free to carry out what appeared to be an advanced plot. And authorities familiar with the case say more potentially deadly cyanide bombs may be in circulation. See, our own people, these white suckers, these white supremacist suckers, I swear to God, I would have no problem whatsoever ending these people. None. It says, since arresting the three people in May, federal agents have served hundreds of subpoenas across the country in a domestic terror investigation that made it onto Bush's daily intelligence briefings and set off national security alarms among the country's most senior counterterror officials. Have we heard about this? Huh? Has a terror alert been raised because a bunch of crazy-ass white people are running around with sodium cyanide bombs? Have we heard about this? No, I don't think so. One of these jackasses, William Krar, K-R-A-R, originally from New Hampshire, last week pled guilty in Tyler federal court to possession of a chemical weapon near the East Texas town of Noonday. He faces up to 10 years in prison. I say shoot him. Shoot the son of a bitch. We're in a time of war. Didn't Bush say we're in a time of war? This is an act of potential terror against the United States. Put him up against a wall and put a bullet in one ear and watch it come out the other. That's how you handle terrorists, don't you? Summary execution? Isn't this what they did in Saigon? Remember that picture? Remember the Saigon police chief with the VC suspect? And the .45 caliber pistol up against the guy's ear? And the photographer got the shot just as the man stepped into eternity? Do that to William Krar.
Irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength myelin's a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you are ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ned Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, band leader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
Apparently, Simple Scotty missed the memo from Bush stating that everybody had to stop trying to link Saddam to 911.
The most dangerous threat we face in a post-September 11th world is the nexus between outlaw regimes with weapons of mass destruction and terrorists. Saddam Hussein had a history of weapons of mass destruction.
Maybe before you were born, you little jackass. Did Scotty not get the memo? There is no connection between 9/11 and Saddam. It came out of the Bush bastard's own mouth. It's come out of all their mouths. Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, all of them. Scotty, hello.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Coming up after the break, Roger Libby is going to join us. We're going to talk about sex for a while, sex in the age of Reagan. But in the age of Bush, I'm thinking about Reagan. Reverend Debu just sent this in to me. 1836 Pacific Standard Time. That would be 15. That would be 6:36 in the evening Pacific Time, which would be 9:36 our time. This just happened an hour and a half ago. Nancy Reagan has voiced her opposition to an attempt by Republican lawmakers to put her husband's likeness on the dime in place of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The former First Lady said in a statement released Friday, quote, "While I can understand the intentions of those seeking to place my husband's face on the dime, I do not support this proposal, and I'm certain Ronnie would not. When our country chooses to honor a great president such as Franklin Roosevelt by placing his likeness on our currency, it would be wrong to remove him and replace him with another. It is my hope that the proposed legislation will be withdrawn," end quote. All right. Okay. So she gets a few points. I mean, for me, it's not that I don't like her. I have nothing to say about Nancy Reagan at all. I thought her husband was just a jackass. But here she and an amiable jackass. Who called him an amiable dunce? Somebody referred to, I think it was Pappy Bush, when Pappy Bush was vice president, referring to Reagan as an amiable dunce. Okay. So here's Nancy Reagan asking these thuggish, pissant Republicans to please back off. Please let my husband die in peace. Please leave us alone. Please go away. Now, do you think they'll respect that and honor it? These are Republicans, after all. And Republicans are, they have no moral center. They are unethical. They are totally amoral. They are killers. They support mass murder. They're vicious. So I just wonder. The story about the CBS 11 in Texas is reporting about the this William Krar, originally from New Hampshire, busted. He faces up to 10 years in prison. His common-law wife, Judith Brewey, pled guilty to lesser weapons charges, faces up to 5 years in prison. These people were going to blow off sodium cyanide bombs in cities here. And like I say, a bullet in the head, I have no mercy for domestic American terrorists, and I can understand what Timothy McVeigh was all about, and that's fine. Understanding something on an intellectual basis is one thing. Watching 168 people blown into pieces is something else again. These people who were busted, and we'll put this story, we may get back to this story this evening, but these people should be taken out and given a fair trial and then executed. And I'm against capital punishment.
We never return.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no. All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Iraqi guerrillas will step up attacks in the next few months in an attempt to thwart a transfer of sovereignty from the occupation authority to a new Iraqi government, the top U.S. administrator in Iraq said Friday. But L. Paul Bremer said in an interview with Associated Press TV News that U.S. forces were getting better intelligence in the fight against insurgents who stage attacks daily. Hours before he spoke, a roadside bomb hit a U.S. military convoy in Baghdad, killing one soldier. Two Iraqi civilians also died, and 13 were wounded. With guerrilla attacks overshadowing reconstruction efforts in Iraq, the Pentagon is considering formation of a specialized force to help shepherd war-torn countries from the end of major combat to the start of civilian nation-building, government officials say. In an about-face for the Bush administration, defense officials are quietly examining proposals including a small joint services unit of a few thousand troops that could be assembled in as little as a year to perform policing, civil affairs, engineering, medical, and other duties in hotspots such as Iran and Afghanistan. The Bush administration campaigned on a policy of no nation building. Investigators who raided the offices of Rush Limbaugh's doctors said in search warrants filed Thursday that the conservative radio commentator engaged in illegal drug use and doctor shopping for prescription painkillers. The warrants, which named four doctors and several prescription drugs, show investigators were looking for medical, insurance, and appointment records for Limbaugh, as well as cash receipts and prescription forms when they raided two offices November 25th. No charges have been filed and no arrests have been made. Mr. Limbaugh's actions violate the letter and spirit of the law that relates to doctor shopping, stated one of the warrants, signed by Asim Brown, a law enforcement agent assigned to the State Attorney's Office Anti-Money Laundering Task Force. Doctor shopping refers to looking for a doctor willing to prescribe drugs illegally or getting prescriptions for a single drug from more than one doctor at the same time. More news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C.
The auction website eBay removed a listing Thursday from a British man who was attempting to sell one of his kidneys to finance medical treatment for his sick daughter. Peter Randall told the Sun newspaper that he was trying to raise money for special therapy for his six-year-old daughter, Alice, who suffers from cerebral palsy. A spokesman for eBay said the advertisement, which had been running for a week with no bids, was pulled when the company was alerted to its presence Thursday morning. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
Do you love children? Of course you do. Does your heart break for abused and neglected children? Of course it does. Does your heart yearn so strongly to help such children that you'd be willing to make a tax-deductible contribution of $500,000 to, get ready to sob with the joy of charitable giving, Tom DeLay? Yes, DeLay, the notorious boss of the Congress who is nicknamed the Hammer for his heavy-handed raising of corporate political money in exchange for legislative favors. And now, proving that no low is too low for Tom, he has created a charity named Celebrations for Children, using abused and neglected kids as a draw for more corporate money. Tom's charity was set up specifically to be used as a fundraising funnel at the 2004 Republican National Convention, and it has mailed a slick 13-page booklet to corporate donors that appeals less to their charitable instincts than to their greed. The booklet asks for donations ranging from $10,000 to $500,000, promising that the CEOs and lobbyists who give will get exclusive FaceTime with DeLay and other key GOP lawmakers during the convention week. Top donors, for example, are going to enjoy a quiet spin on a yacht with Tom, plus play golf with him, and get two private dinners with him and his wife, among other special chances to schmooze with power. To add to the allure, the corporations are to get a tax deduction for their donations, meaning the rest of us taxpayers will get to subsidize their corrupt power fest. Also, since it's technically a charity rather than a political fund, Tom doesn't even have to tell us which corporations buy into this scheme, much less what favors they'll get in return. This is Jim Hightower saying, DeLay indignantly says that his charity is not about politics, yet it's being run by his political team, including his daughter and one of his longtime campaign fundraisers. He professes innocence with the same sincerity of a cat with feathers on its whiskers.
That Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, yes, I was know. Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to
different...
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here. Right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. You know, one of the areas of pop or political culture, I guess pop culture, that we don't talk about is the on this program very often, if at all. Is the repressive nature of the Bush administration where it concerns anything sexual. Now, we've touched on it a couple of times, just very obliquely, when we've mentioned John Ashcroft, for example, having metallic breasts covered up in the Hall of Justice because it offends him. In the, the statue of the woman who represents or depicts justice. But the anti-lustful or sexual fun kind of thing that come on, be honest, all of us do appreciate, you know, and it cracks me up because were it not for pornography, I think the internet would have collapsed by now, don't you think? It wouldn't be as big as it is. But we all enjoy sex, at least most of us do, and most of us try to get as much as we can, don't we? I mean, within the confines of whatever we agree is the proper way to do it. Whether we're married or single, gay or straight, male or female, it really doesn't matter. We're all looking for a good time sailor at some point. Now, Dr. Roger Libby is a board-certified sex therapist. He's a sex educator. He's an author, a columnist, and a good friend of mine, has been for a number of years. He wrote a book. I don't know if you could ever find it. It's called Sex from Ah to Zipper, A Glossary of Sexual Terms, which is just funny as hell. And he's working on a book, I believe, right now, teenage sex. He had a column that appeared in the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. He lives in the Seattle area. The title was Responsible Lust is Healthy and Normal. I just want to read a couple of sentences here. Iraq is not the only war the Bush administration has been conducting. For some time, right-wing politicians have been using lies as bullets to fight an ugly war against lust. Sexual motives and meanings, especially if they're not limited to monogamous reproductive marriage, are openly scorned. Condoms, women's reproductive choices, objective sex education, sexually explicit depictions, and gay and lesbian expressions are all under vicious attack. The federal government is trying to make erotic pleasure frightening. Joining us now is my good friend Roger Libby. Hey, Roger.
Hi, Mike. Pleased to be on the show.
Yeah, let me mention also that you are married. You have two children.
Right.
You're not some freak who wears a raincoat and travels the dark alleys of Seattle looking for filthy picture postcards. Let's take off from that last line. The federal government is trying to make erotic pleasure frightening. How and why?
Well, how they're doing it by lying about the effectiveness of condoms on government websites and by trying to limit sex education in the schools to abstinence only. And they've got $135 million so far Congress has approved for abstinence only, supposedly called sex education programs, where they are not to discuss birth control or abortion or any other alternative. And so those are two examples of how the government is pushing a conservative sexual norm.
Why does it seem, and tell me if it seems this way to you too? Full disclosure, you and I have had many conversations over many years here in Atlanta. Oh my God, on the phone, and this topic has come up between you and I before. But
sure.
Let's bring it up again. Mm-hmm. Why is it that right-wing governments, I don't care if they're here in the UK, in Russia, in China, whatever, right-wing governments tend to be horribly sexually repressive?
Well, I think it's because the right-wing governments are influenced heavily by a right-wing version of Christianity. And in some other countries, it's some other religion. But either way, it's a right-wing version of religion. And the religions are, of course, are hell-bent on trying to limit pleasure to marriage, especially for procreation. That's how they create their business as a religion. And so when you wed the religious factor with the government factor, you've got a powerful way to try to limit people from having sex, basically.
You know, I keep thinking about the novel 1984, as a lot of people have here in the age of Bush. And last night when I said you're going to be on the program tonight, I mentioned Winston Smith and Julia, the two characters that fell in love.
Right.
In that novel, and that was their downfall. As long as they just had sex, the Big Brother's government tended to leave them alone. But once they fell in love, now that's a different, it's a different thing, but
that's a different emphasis than we're seeing today. Now the whole thing is to stop people from having sex unless they're married and to wink at violence and other more serious problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about this attitude that has really erupted, regarding gay and lesbian sex, at a time when homosexual men and women in this country are finally stating and working toward the obvious that they are as entitled to love and relationships, legal relationships, as anyone else, the right wing seems to be mounting, through its religious spokespersons, this horrendous attack on gays and lesbians.
Well, they're trying to say that it's a choice, and of course we know that it's not a choice to be gay or lesbian. And so by saying it's a choice, they can put people down and say, you know, you better toe the line or we're going to basically make life difficult for you. And that's what's happening. Now we have the latest frontier is gay marriage. And I think it's inevitable. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Even if homosexuality is not a question of biology, let's assume, and I agree with you, it probably is, but let's assume mm-hmm. that it is not, that it's a matter of individual choice. So what's the government doing telling people who may choose freely to say, well, look, I want to marry a same-sex partner, and it's not because I was born gay, it's just I've decided I'm gay. What's wrong with that?
Well, it's none of their business, yeah, either way. I mean, obviously the government has no business being in our bedrooms unless we're involved with rape or something. I mean, that's just not the case.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us a bit about teenage sex. You mentioned in this article, responsible lust is healthy and normal. You say it makes sense for teenagers to wait until they're out of high school to have intercourse, but most of them aren't waiting. I understand you're working or have worked on a book about teenage sexuality.
Yeah.
What do you advise teenagers regarding sex? Because I know one of your children soon. Well, no, I guess they're not at that level yet.
No, they're not. But I mean, I will give them the same advice I give other teenagers, like in this book I'm writing, and that is that, you know, there are other forms of sex besides intercourse, and you certainly are sexual from birth on. I mean, infants have been capable of orgasm. Kinsey certainly observed that. And so I would tell them, be responsible about it, and don't get involved with intercourse until you're ready to handle the responsibility as far as pregnancy and STDs and the feeling issues and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean they're not going to have fun and be sexual, but they're going to be using some common sense.
Do you want to expand on that a little bit?
Well, sure. I mean, I think that teenagers are, first of all, not given full information. Even the Internet is not the best source for completely accurate information about sex. So where do they get their information? They get it from their peer group, which a lot of the information, of course, is inaccurate. So they go to the media. What do they get in the media? They get Abercrombie and Fitch. They get all the stuff that's happening, all the sensationalism. They read about, Paris Hilton and all the things that are highly sexual but without any sense of understanding or meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And so without that understanding and without the information to make intelligent sexual choices, they flounder, and of course they get people pregnant, they have STDs, they get in all kinds of problems. And my position is, until adults are responsible as role models for teenagers, we can't expect them to be responsible either.
I know you travel the college and high school lecture circuit a lot.
Yeah.
And you have a character that you travel with.
Yeah.
Tell us about the character.
Well, Roxanne Ribbit is my horny toad. She's 5'6", and she's a stuffed frog, and I had her made. It was my thought, my original idea. And so she appears sometimes in lingerie or bikinis, like when I did a National Orgasm Week for college students down in Daytona Beach. She came with me, and she was in a bikini, and we were in Playboy, and we were on MTV, and, you know, all kinds of things. And it was just kind of fun because it's a way to kind of emphasize safe sex and that we can be sexual without having a problem with it.
Roxanne Ribbit.
Ribbit, yeah. She hops for sex and ribbits for sex.
Ribbits for sex. You know, I had almost forgotten, and I used to wear one of your damn buttons that said National Orgasm Week.
I came for National Orgasm
Week. I came for National Orgasm, right. What happened to National Orgasm Week, Roger?
Well, I mean, it's still there. It's just that I haven't got a way to promote it unless I get my show back on the air. I mean, it's kind of difficult to promote in this conservative climate.
Right. Well, didn't you seek a presidential proclamation about this one time and were run out of Washington?
I tried to get it on the calendar, yeah.
Yeah, you tried to get what was George Bush the first, wasn't it? Or was it Clinton?
Yeah. I mean, but you know, I wasn't successful. But it's an idea that's still going to, I think, be with us for a long time. It's just like my petting zoo parties where people make out and pet with people they meet at the parties, and I was dressed as a zookeeper and everybody else was a party animal.
Oh, my God, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
The parties that you used to do here in Atlanta, and all of this was based on the idea of safe sex and not being afraid of sexual response. I'd forgotten about that.
And treating each other with respect and
right.
being honest and sensitive and responsible, and not, you know, you don't have, just because you can see sex as a great thing doesn't mean you have to be exploitive about it, is my position.
Yeah, I remember one Halloween, I'm sure you remember, when you and I and Kathy, and I don't know if you had a date, but you dressed as the high priest of sex for Halloween and you carried your book instead of a Bible. That was before you were dating the woman who is now your wife.
Yeah, that's right.
And I just remembered that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's accurate. And also, I was invited to London, England with my frog, and I went to, it was in a castle, this great, exquisite castle. They had the Sex Maniacs Ball. And so I took my frog as my date, and I went to the Elizabethan Theater District and rented a costume. So I was a prince, and she was, you know, the princess. Yeah. And so all these British guys were cutting in to dance with my frog. It was great fun.
To dance with your frog. It just boggles the mind. Let's go back a bit to, to the 40s. When the Kinsey reports first started coming out on male and female sexuality, how has the approach to human sexuality changed since, when did that come out, 47,
48? 48 was the male volume and 53 was the female volume.
How has the approach to sex, and this is, I think this is pertinent, Roger, because
yeah.
Just the other day I noticed that we're celebrating, if that's the right word, the 50th anniversary of the first Playboy magazine.
Right.
And the Playboy philosophy, the Playboy bunny, as sexist and as repressive, you can make an argument that it was very sexist, very repressive.
Mm-hmm.
You can also make the argument that the Playboy mentality was, to some degree, given its time, liberating. So,
oh, I think it absolutely was. I mean, I think the sexual revolution wouldn't have been complete without Playboy. Playboy was a big part of the impetus for it.
Even though Gloria Steinem, a gal from my hometown, became a Playboy bunny, you'll remember, and
right.
then wrote an expose about it. Roger, let me put you on hold. We'll come right back. We're talking with Dr. Roger Libby about things sexual. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Here in Washington, we're now determining the size and the shape of a package. Not if we have a package, it's how big will the package be.
Ow! Ow, you thing!
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
The Tom Hartman Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius Satellite Radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese,
humpback camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
I wish I knew the law that I could sign that would make people love one another.
Love me two times, girl. One for tomorrow, one.
We're talking with Dr. Roger Libby. Before we get back to the Kinsey report and what has happened in the 60 years since that came out, What about that comment he just said, Roger? What did he say? Yeah, I'd like to find a way to make people love. I wish I knew the law I could sign to make love one another. Now, he's not talking about the kind of love and or lust that we're talking about now.
No.
What do you think he's talking about? Christian?
Well, I think I'm probably just talking about love in the kind of almost a biblical kind of way of just the caring for your neighbor and all that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go back to the way things have changed in the 60 years since the Kinsey report.
Right. Well, basically, the Kinsey reports blew the minds of Americans because what he indicated was that both sexes were highly active before marriage, after marriage, extramaritally, et cetera. And so, what the inevitable happened in the last 10 years, and that is a woman named Judith Reisman and some of her cohorts put out a book called Kinsey Sex and Fraud, The Indoctrination of a People. And they were trying to argue that the studies were flawed, et cetera. And they tried to argue that the Kinsey studies were just based on prison samples. It's not true. I mean, there were prison samples, but that wasn't the entire sample.
Well, if I remember, there were people who showed up at his labs, University of Indiana specifically, to participate in this. But maybe Ms. Reisman is against the idea of, women having orgasms.
Well, she is. She's very repressed. I debated her on television in Detroit once, and she cites me in her book where she tries to criticize me for saying that sex education should be very broad-based and should teach about what we found from Kinsey and other subsequent studies. And see, if she were right that Kinsey studies were so flawed that the sexual revolution didn't occur, well, then all the subsequent research would be wrong too. It's just a completely vacuous argument. So she's out there right now trying to argue that the Kinsey Institute should be shut down. I was out at the Kinsey Institute a few months ago, and I looked at the original notes that Kinsey wrote over 50 years ago for his interviews. They were on very fine paper. You could almost blow it away. And it was just meticulous. He had 350 questions he memorized, and he had meticulous notes for the responses. So there's no way this research was in any way anything but the most brilliant research that had been done, certainly in its time, and even since nobody's done anything quite this huge.
Why, after 60 years, is there still debate as to the correctness of the idea of love / lust / sexual appetites? Why is it still being debated?
Well, it's still being debated because, the religious tenets are there, and they're trying to argue against masturbation, et cetera. If you talk to the Catholic Church, those are still there, and they're losing ground. And so, because they're losing ground, they're tying forces in with the government, which is a lack of separation of church and state, to try to be more powerful in restricting pleasure. And that's what to some extent they've been successful, at least as far as censorship and government. Some of the laws we have, which are antiquated about sex.
We have only a minute left here, Roger. What do you suggest that people do in the age of Bush to affirm their sexual nature?
Well, I think that we all need to stand up and write letters to the editor and let people, politicians, know that we're not going to vote for people who are trying to repress us and interfere with our individual right to pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to distinguish our right to pleasure from license. And sexual license is a different thing than freedom. And we need to talk about freedom with responsibility, and then I think we get more support.
I'll tell you what. Can you hang on?
Yeah.
All right, because there's a couple of people here that have a question for you. We'll take a quick break,
sure.
And we'll come back, if you don't mind.
No.
Okay, I'll put you on hold and we'll come back. We're talking with Dr. Roger Libby, sex therapist, author, the man who wrote this column for the Seattle Post-Intelligencer earlier this week. Responsible lust is healthy and normal. If you have a comment or a question for Roger Libby, come on, 800-TALK-YES.
Sperm is sacred, every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
Every sperm is...
Thieves in high places, they've stolen our country and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A new wave of disease is springing from our difficult relationship with the environment. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. SARS, West Nile virus, and monkeypox recently joined a growing list of diseases that have jumped from animals into humans. Mark Jerome Walters says we can expect more to come. Walters is the author of a new book called Six Modern Plagues, and he says we've entered into an age of what he calls ecodemics.
They can come from many sources. Many may have lingered for many, many years, even thousands of years, in the environment. And then for the first time, somehow, people have come in direct contact with it and become infected.
Walters says Lyme disease is one example. It spread after suburban development put people into prime Lyme disease habitat along the edges of hardwood forests. Walters says many new and emerging diseases infect humans after undergoing genetic changes that make them more infectious. He says HIV appears to be a mutated form of a disease that was present in apes. People likely became infected by eating chimpanzees, a practice that spread when loggers moved deep into Central African forests. Walter says our crowded world and changing climate are perfect for the spread of disease-causing organisms.
We are not protected the way communities once were, isolated from an outbreak with vast stretches of geography or rivers in between or oceans. The world is becoming one large petri dish, and this has taken us into an era of ecodemics that we are probably going to be in for a very, very long time.
That's Mark Jerome Walters, author of Six Modern Plagues. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Dude,
and
there's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Looking out for love in the night so still.
I looked a man in the eye. I was able to get a sense of his soul.
Yeah, right.
Looking out for love.
27 past the hour. We are talking with Dr. Roger Libby, lives in Seattle, a certified, board-certified sex therapist, sex educator, lecturer, author, and columnist. He has a practice in Seattle. And, Roger, as soon as I said we were going to end it all, I have two callers on hold who are waiting to ask you a question, and I guess they both heard me say that, and I'm sorry they took off. So,
Mike, I did want to mention another example of what I'm really concerned about here.
Yes.
Since Kinsey. The U.S. Congress came within two votes in the last month of just shutting down most major sex research as far as funding from the government, including at the Kinsey Institute itself. And that's really scary.
Well, they're cutting off funding in so many areas that they don't agree with politically. Genetic funding,
right.
Not cloning, but you stem cell research.
I'm
just drawing
stem
a complete blank here. Yeah, and so much of the science that doesn't correspond with their particular right-wing religious agenda is being ended. I would think that the sex, the money for sex education or sex research would be the first to go.
Yeah, well, right. But along the lines of what they're trying to do to really blast sex research, there's a new movie that's being made on the Kinsey Institute and on Kinsey. Liam Neeson and all these people are in it. And Judith Reisman is trying to get the company that's making the movie to stop, and she's getting a lot of support right now.
I just don't understand the attitude by right-wingers. I mean, I do understand it, but on the other hand, I do understand it. In the article of yours that I'm quoting from here tonight, you have a sentence, "Responsible lust is healthy and normal, providing the driving force for passionate love and joy. Rather than labeling lust a sin or something to fear, we can benefit by encouraging this wonderful energy as a positive contribution to playful intimacy." That's absolutely radical and revolutionary, isn't it?
Well, it is in this time, yeah.
Are you optimistic about what's where we're at? You and I are about the same age. Are you optimistic? We've seen attempts at repression of open and free discussion, whether it's political speech or sex speech or philosophical speech or whatever it is. How do you feel generally, Roger, about the way things are now?
Well, I think we're moving backwards right now. That's what scares me. I mean, the economy, of course, is not doing so well. AIDS is still around. Women have never achieved equality. These are reasons why we haven't really gone on to another sexual revolution. But when all three of those issues are dealt with, we will have another sexual revolution. I believe it. And I think it will occur in the next 25 years.
Can you tell the shape of that?
I think it's going to be a revolution more of equality between the sexes and a greater intimacy sexually between the sexes, and not just the frequency kind of emphasis or how many people we're with, but the quality of it all.
Mm-hmm. All right, I think one of hold on just a second here. Let me see if I can do this without disconnecting both of you. Bill is calling from Yukon, Oklahoma. Bill, welcome to the program. Say hi to Dr. Roger Libby.
Hi, Doctor.
Hi, Bill.
Enjoying your talk, enjoying the
show.
Thank you. I had a question. About a month ago, the Republicans came out with this basically platform statement that they were going after the gays, and this was going to be, you know, some sort of base divining issue. And I was wondering if you could talk about that, because
we know the Republicans have been after gays for some time. I mean, most recently in the last month or so, Rick Santorum, and all his comments he made about gays and tying them in with incest, adultery, polygamy, etc. They're trying to make gays into freaks, and of course they're not. And they're doing this because they think they can garner more support for their supposed mainstream position about sex, which is not mainstream at all. It's really radical right wing.
See, do you think they're going after their... I mean, do you think they're trying to energize their base, or do you think that... I mean, it almost sounded like they were trying to go after the Democratic base.
Well, I think that's true, too, because Democrats tend to support gays. Obviously, Republicans don't.
And you think possibly that... in the Democratic platform, if they said, well, we support gay marriage and this sort of thing, that it would be divisive? And...
Oh, very divisive.
Okay, so that's kind of what they're after.
Mm-hmm. They want to divide the Democratic Party.
Oh, okay.
And this is the sort of issue that can do it, just like abortion, these wedge issues that the Nixonites came up with back in the 70s, Roger, even before that.
Mm-hmm.
the Nixon wedge issues, the so-called Southern strategy, talk about integration, talk about abortion, talk about issues that will divide the Democratic Party. And as a result of that, I think as a direct result of that, after Nixon left in disgrace, you had the so-called Reagan Democrats.
Right.
So do you have advice? I mean, this is obviously a hate issue.
Well, it
so
is
it's
a hate
black
issue.
And white. So what would you advise?
Well, I think that it's hard to know what to say about that. I mean, I think that obviously heterosexuals have got to support gays here, and all of us have to support people for being sexual, and we need to come to the defense of those who are different in any way, not just gay or people who have different sexual lifestyles. They may be swingers or something. We need to support people for their choices.
Well put. I think I'm going to start writing in.
Yeah, letters to the editor, and I think letters to congressmen, writing guest columns like I wrote for the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. These are all important because, I mean, I've been on several radio shows, most of them right-wing shows, but I was very successful even with the right-wing hosts about these issues.
Oh, really?
Because they haven't done their research. They don't know what they're talking about.
Oh, really? What did you say or what did – what?
Well, I mean, what I said is basically what I'm saying here. It's just that they tried to counter me, and they had nothing to counter me with because they were illogical about everything they were saying.
So they're like trying to demonize, and you're like saying, forget that. And...
Yeah. We have to use logic. We have to use logical arguments and as much factual basis as we can to support our position, and then they cave.
And that'll stop a right-winger no matter what the topic is.
Yeah.
Bill, thanks for checking in, pal.
Okay, thank
All
you.
All right, sir, I appreciate it. You know, this just a couple more things here, Roger. This homophobia that seems to have been given new life by this administration, and the idea that the Democrats now are kind of in a trick bag. If the Democratic presidential candidates or congressional candidates really take a stand on this issue as a human rights issue, they're going to be bastardized and demonized by the right wingers. The same thing happened to McGovern back in, when was it, 72, when he was accused of being for sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
Or it wasn't exactly that, but you know what I'm talking about.
He wasn't really that radical. I mean,
No, McGovern.
I helped him with one of his speeches. I know George McGovern.
McGovern was he turned out to be absolutely right on everything.
Yeah, but he wasn't radical.
No,
he was just kind of commonsensical.
No, and in fact, he was kind of a conservative Democrat, except on certain except on certain issues. But
right.
What's to happen with the Dennis Kucinich or Howard Dean or Wesley Clark or Kerry or Gephardt, whoever gets the Democratic Party nomination?
Mm-hmm.
This issue of recognizing gay rights and gay rights is not just a right to go have a drink in a bar without being beaten up.
No.
Now it's about marriage, partnerships, legal responsibilities, legal obligations, and legal guarantees. What's going to happen to the Democratic Party around
this issue? Well, I don't think it's going to be splintered. I think you're going to see some support because what will happen is a guy like Dean, who may get the nomination, is probably not going to argue for gay marriage right away. But I think he's got it in the back of his head. He's going to go for civil unions and other things first to try to get some support, and then he'll go for the juggler eventually. That's my guess.
Because this homophobia, this anti whether it's anti-sex or anti just anti-sex in general, but anti gay relations, anti-gay sex, anti-homosexuality, sets up the kind of environment, as you well know, that results in gay bashing, murders, beatings, the math.
That's because there's an inverse relationship between sex and violence. I found that in my own cross-cultural study in the 80s. We studied Sweden, we studied several cultures, and in every country we studied, every culture, we found that the more you repress sex, the more frustration, aggression, and violence you end up with.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
It makes sense. I can understand why there would be that inverse ratio. How's everything in Seattle, Roger?
Everything's great out here. Actually, Seattle's a pretty progressive city. I mean, it's...
Well, how come you're not on the air out there, then?
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing that really surprises me. The radio out here is not as progressive as the city itself.
Yeah.
And Atlanta, the radio is more open, but the city's not. And so it's kind of really hard to understand.
Well, it used to be open here in Atlanta, but in the several years you've been gone, I think Atlanta's becoming like every other repressive market. Roger, it's always good to talk to you.
Well, good to talk to you, Mike. I enjoyed doing it.
Thank you very much. We'll talk
You're
again.
You're welcome.
All right, sir. Take care. Roger Libby. Dr. Roger Libby is a board-certified sex therapist and sex educator. He joined us from Seattle, Washington.
Did I say? Play it, honey, play it. Is that Dolly? That's not Dolly Parton. See, I don't know. Did I shave my legs for this? Is that the title of that? Oh, my goodness. Okay. I don't want to go back and talk about poison gas. I just don't. After talking about sex and lust and touching one another, I don't want to go back and talk about poison gas. We will have to talk about this poison gas story some other time. Do you understand what I mean? The switch back to that would be so abrupt, I would get whiplash. All right, John is calling from Philadelphia. John, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, John. I'm doing fine. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. Listen, I just wanted to make a real quick kind of a Kucinich commercial. Went to the...
Well, you don't have to make it quick. Take your time.
Went to the Delaware meetup.
Yeah.
Last night. Delaware was actually a little closer to where I live. And... We were planning to go out tomorrow, and we need 500 more votes to get Dennis on the ballot in Delaware. And we've only got a couple of weeks to get it done. We were planning to go out and do a major thing tomorrow, canvassing in Wilmington. However, we got hit with about a foot of snow today, and we're expecting another 6 inches tomorrow. So we're looking for volunteers. Anybody's around in the area.
Yeah, now over the whole state or where?
Well, actually, we're just going to concentrate in Wilmington, but if anybody can do it anywhere else in the state, that'd be cool. But we're
all right. How do they get in touch with whomever they need to get in touch with today?
Go into Yahoo, and you can join the Yahoo group, which is called DE_friends_of_ Kucinich.
Like in Delaware, Friends of Kucinich.
Yeah.
DE_friends_of_ Kucinich.
Right.
Okay.
If you put that in the, you know, go into groups and say, you know, I want to join a group, and you just type that in, it'll take you to it. Just type join, and then you can post right away, because there's no, this is unlike a lot of other ones that make you get moderated and all that. So you can go right in and say, I'm available.
Mm-hmm.
I live somewhere near Wilmington. We have people coming to that group from New Jersey as well as Pennsylvania. I'll be organizing a Kucinich group in Chester County, Pennsylvania, probably in the next couple of weeks. But because of the closeness of the Delaware primary, I'm putting my efforts right now in the Delaware area, and we have kind of a reciprocity that when the folks from Chester County help the folks from Delaware,
right,
they'll come to our assistance up here.
So it's DE_friends_of_ Kucinich.
You got it.
At the Yahoo groups.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, good luck, John. I know we had a chat with our friend Nancy Skinner just day before yesterday. And she also in Chicago, as you know, she's running for the Senate. Or maybe you don't know, she's running for the Senate from Illinois. And she also is into that final push now to get the signatures necessary for Democrats to get on the ballot. So I certainly can understand your eagerness to help Dennis in
Delaware. I'm seeing a lot of positive stuff happening now all over the place. I worked out the other morning at the Y, and there were some senior guys. I'm 57. There's some senior guys there, some World War II vets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was a little bit nervous about talking. You know, I listened to them. They let me talk every now and then.
Right.
But and I heard one guy say to the other guy, "Hey, did you hear the news today?" And the other fellow said, "I don't listen to that shit. All I hear is our guys getting killed."
Mm-hmm.
I took that cue right away, and I said, "Yeah, you know, I read in a Scottish newspaper this morning that they're averaging 130 attacks a day on our forces."
Hmm.
These guys are old-time Democrats, you know, and that's the way I prefaced it. I wouldn't tell them I'm a Green, but I say, you know, I slip back into my old Philadelphia accent and say, "Yeah, I think this guy sold us a bill of goods, you know, and I think we're getting a raw deal here. I'm not so sure that those Iraqis ever had anything to do with it." And, man, the chat starts. They're just looking for a way.
That's a good approach. The stealth conversation approach. I like that. John, thanks for checking in, pal.
Hey, you take care, Mike.
All right, sir. You too. Also, in
In New York, on Sunday, that's this Sunday, there's a lunch from 1 to 3:30 p.m., and our webmaster, Mark Marshall, asked me to announce this for the New York listeners. Another Kucinich event. It's called An Afternoon for Our Future, Creating Unity for Social Change, yada, yada, yada. But here it's at the counter, like counter, C-O-U-N-T, a counter restaurant and wine bar. It's at 105 First Avenue. That's First Avenue and East 6th Street. And there is a donation to get in. There are honor guest speakers, but that's for the New York listeners Sunday, this Sunday, day after tomorrow, lunch, 1 to 3:30 p.m., the Counter Restaurant and Wine Bar, 105 First Avenue at East 6th Street. So a couple of Kucinich events there in the Northeast. Hope you can get to one of them.
It's cold.
Here, take NyQuil. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
a. More tissues.
Sleep like a.
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and health. Healthier career living,
entertainment options for the whole family,
and how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for The Cooking Couple Show.
And when The Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Making the pie higher so that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 4:30 before the hour. Just so we get this done, let me mention now a program produced here in Atlanta tonight by Catherine Bay. Robin Dittman announces program engineered in Detroit by John Lucas. Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Hey, open your mic there, Catherine, will you please? We were thinking about what we're going to do this weekend. It's nasty and cold down here in the sunny south, but it's supposed to be clear tomorrow. We're going to go do some Christmas shopping. When are we going to get our Christmas tree?
Yes, the weather outside is frightful.
When are we going to go get our Christmas tree?
I don't know. Probably during the week when the hordes have died down at Home Depot or whatever discount lot we usually go steal from at 4 in the morning.
I don't know that I want to go to Home Depot this year after finding out that they contribute all these hundreds of thousands of dollars to Republicans and to Bush. Maybe one of these church lots.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
I always like to buy my pumpkins for jack-o'-lanterns at a church lot.
Mm-hmm.
Usually behind the church they'll have the hell house set up to scare the kids, and in front they'll have the pumpkins for sale to raise some money. That, to me, always seemed kind of fun way to do your religion.
Festive.
Festive, right?
Very festive.
Are we celebrating Festivus this year?
Festivus, for the rest of us.
Are we going to celebrate that this year?
Yeah.
Are we going to pass
I know way too many Seinfeld quotes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
For Festivus?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm looking forward to...
Feats of strength.
I'm looking forward to doing some Christmas shopping.
Oh, I know. You just love the malls. You're the only man I've ever met who... Well, you'll get into a mall. I love this. You get into a mall, and you're good for about half an hour, and then you start feeling faint from the formaldehyde. They put in all the clothing. You say, I got to go outside.
I can't stand it.
Funny. You know, I'm in there for the duration. I got my hiking boots on. I got my list. I got my coupons.
When I used to smoke cigarettes, the formaldehyde didn't bother me. But now that my lungs are all pink and clear, except for that part that has the huge sucking cancers that must be in there at this point, I can't take the formaldehyde smell. I just can't do it.
I'm going to get you a giant Dr. Roger Libby horny frog life-size 6-foot female frog in pink lingerie doll.
Oh, God.
Because I think every man should have one of those.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll see. I don't have to say anything. I'll see you all Monday. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'll see you Monday, I hope. Take care. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kenny, wherever you are.
to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do? Being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network. My fellow